The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, and just repeat that over and over and over again.
The only person you need to be better than is the person you used to be.
To your great life game plan. I'm Dr. Scott Little, and with me is my lovely wife, Karen. Good day.
Howdy.
Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. We talk about the principles of anti-aging. We like to call it healthy aging, stress and weight management, fitness, fat burning, clinical nutrition, all sorts of different things, elements that might go into your strategy for a great life. Well, how are you doing, Karen?
I'm good.
How's the gym today?
It was fabulous.
Did you help lots and lots of people to get in optimal shape and,
Absolutely.
Experience joy and bliss in their lives.
I had somebody today tell me that I should be a personal trainer. And I hear this a lot, you know, oh, you should be a personal trainer. And I'm like, yeah, no.
You don't want to be a personal trainer?
You know, I thought about that for a while, but I kind of, I like doing the fitness coaching. I like that model of motivating, encouraging, telling people why they should work out and the benefits and just all that kind of stuff.
Help people to stay focused, meet their goals, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, you know, help, you know, like we do with diet and exercise and all that kind of stuff. But I don't like the idea of just standing there and telling people, basically like my trainer does with me, okay,
which
now
she
do
does
this.
A great job.
Which she does a fantastic job.
And may listen and to this and don't offend her because
she's
doing
very,
a great job.
She's very, very good at that. And I mean, there are people out, all of our trainers are fabulous, but that's just not me. That's
right.
Not what I want to do. So,
well, there's a distinction between a coach and a personal trainer, and you know, even ACE. What is that? American Council on Exercise.
Yeah, American Council
they
on
have
exercise.
They have both a personal trainer certification and a health coach certification. I was going to go through their health coach certification, paid for it, bought the manual, and didn't agree with hardly anything that was in there, and couldn't even suck it up enough to do that. And I thought, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a doctor, and I don't need to have a health coach certification from the American Council of Education.
You pretty much have your health coach certification from Logan.
Yeah. Well, I would go through there, and you know, it was a standard issue, politically correct government. Weight loss is as simple as calories expended versus calories taken in, and the best way to lose weight is to eat less and exercise more. And it was just all sorts of stuff. Don't eat saturated fat. It was every page I was going through with a red pen and saying, okay, memorize this for the exam, and no, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And I thought, wait a minute, I've done that in the past. I don't need to do that to help my people. I've been studying this stuff for 20 years and have a lot to learn, but felt like most of that material was antiquated. And so, you know, somebody the other day brought up the idea that they could eat all the fruit that they wanted in the world, and I think it was you who said, yeah, but there's a lot of sugar. Yes, but it's natural sugar.
Right.
And I hear that all the time, as if, you know, natural sugar is a complete pass because it comes in the form of fruit. Now, I'm not totally anti-fruit. It's just we need to eat our fruit in a very limited manner. We can eat all the you can't overdo it on vegetables, but fruit, my gosh, you can overdo it, and that's not a
well.
That's not
I mean,
a good
it's like
thing.
I asked you the other day, why? Because I love grapes. They're great, quick, easy. You know, grab a little stem or so, a couple, you know, whatever.
Right.
Put them in a baggie.
I think they come in bunches.
Whatever they come in.
Yeah.
Whatever you call them.
I think
those.
It's bunches.
Whatever you call them.
Well, it's bunches.
But you don't have to grab a whole bunch. You can grab just, you know, a small stem of the bunch.
Yeah. Well, so. and there's not a darn thing wrong with that occasionally. I think that the problem is that if you just down a whole bowl of, right. of but grapes, that's, but then that's a high you, that's a high sugar that's right. a high
that's
sugar
why I
endeavor.
Asked you what you know were grapes a high did they have a high sugar content?
And you know, people don't like the idea that sugar is sugar is sugar. Mm-hmm. And well, surely you're not saying that the sugar in a banana is the same as the sugar in a Snicker bar. And no, I get that there are vitamins and minerals in a banana that aren't in a in a Snicker bar, but the reality is it's sugar is sugar and still has a an effect on your insulin
on your
levels.
Blood, yeah,
and if when insulin gets released and it's not in the sugar's not burned away, it gets stored as fat. So we got to really watch our sugar intake when it comes to anything, including fruit.
Right.
So,
all right.
Anyway, hey, speaking of rules to live by when we're talking about what to eat, you know, every single day I'm asked, what's the best way to lose 20 pounds? And, you know, 70% of the population is overweight or obese. And probably another 10-15% need to lose 10 or 15 pounds in order to be optimally healthy. So we're constantly asked what the best way to lose weight is, and you know, people want to lump you into a box, into a category. Do you recommend the paleo diet, the Whole 30 diet, low carb, high fat? Gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, sugar-free, 21-day fix, 17-day diet, 40-day diet, 48-day diet. I mean, there you go to Barnes & Noble, and there are just dozens and dozens and dozens of books. And, you know, I think that you and I agree that, number one, there is not one diet that is the best thing for right. everyone. And there are people who've had tremendous success with Whole 30 mm-hmm. and with paleo. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any healthy vegans, but there may be some out there. You know, people can do well. The one thing that I feel like all of the different diet plans do, now they may not agree on beans, they may not agree on dairy, they may not agree on eggs, or there's things that they don't agree
right,
on,
right.
but they by and large have in common that they recommend copious amounts, I always say that, copious amounts of vegetables and minimal and no sugar and processed foods.
Right.
And so
which limits fruit.
How does that, what?
Which limits fruit.
How so?
Because you just said no sugar.
Well, yes.
Or do you mean processed sugar?
I do mean added sugar. I mean artificial flavor sweeteners and things. You know, nothing refined, nothing processed, no added sugar. Certainly no man-made refined sugar. You know, is honey bad? You know, used sparingly, honey is okay. Maple syrup is okay. Used right. very sparingly. What does right. sparingly mean? Well, that's where you have to define it. You know, does it mean daily? Does it mean just once or twice a day? Well, that's why I don't like the term everything in moderation, because who defines what moderation is?
Right.
And,
it's like moderation, you know, what's, like you said, moderation. Well, sometimes you have to be careful about moderation too.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation, including moderation.
You know, is moderation once a day? Is it once a week? Is it once a month? And that's where people, you give them an inch and they can take a mile.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so we have a book that's new to our family, but not new to, the World, written by a New York Times bestselling author who
is... That was why I was going, ooh, 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 ooh.
That's right.
Earlier, because, ooh, ooh, I know where we're going with this.
Yeah. well-known in the field of nutrition, and yet he's not a nutritionist. He's not a scientist. He's a journalist, but has written several books on nutrition, including The Omnivore's Dilemma. And the book that I have in my hands is Food Rules. Michael Pollan. P-O-L-L-A-N. Poland.
Poland? Poland.
Pollen. That's
it. That might
be it. That's it. That's how you pronounce his name. Michael Pollan. Food Rules, a book that has basically, what is it,
64.
No, it's only 63.
No, it's 64.
How is it 60?
Because there's 64.
Yeah, you're right. It's 64. You know, a very simple book. How long did it take you to read last night?
With interruptions.
There were no interruptions. Okay, so with interruptions, how long did it take you to read?
About an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half. Just 64 simple rules to go by. I'd say that all but maybe two or three I agreed with and thought that, okay, I could live with that. I could suggest that. Or maybe, okay, I see where you're coming from there. I may not agree. We may not be looking at the same situation through the same lens or eyes. But you know, most everything that he says in this book, I agree with.
Well, it's kind of like you talked about earlier. You know, he's not a nutritionist, so it's really the guidelines, and it seems like what he is telling us in this book, and he kind of says this in the introduction too. In the introduction, he says that the deeper he dug into the complexity of diet and nutrition and what do you eat, what do you not eat, and all this, that, and the other, was the simpler it became because they all agree upon these simple basic rules. And it's these, you know, for the most part, they're agreeing on these things.
Do you ever think about why you eat? Who taught you to eat?
Your parents.
What you eat?
My parents.
You know, I oftentimes say.
Well, I mean, let me rephrase that.
Your parents.
Who taught me to eat the way I do today?
No. But I mean, I'm speaking in generalities. Right. I think most of us learn how to eat from our parents. We don't do mayonnaise anymore. We get avocado. Is that what it is called? Avocado mayonnaise
from
Thrive Market, primal mayo. I think it's called or something like that. Anyway, that's what we get now. But prior to that, we always had a jar of Hellman's mayonnaise in our refrigerator.
But when we were first married, we also had a jar of Miracle Whip.
And why was that?
Because that's what I grew up eating.
That's right. Your mother used Miracle Whip, yep. And that's what you grew up with. And I say that my mother used Hellman's, and that's what we grew up with, and therefore that's what I like. If you went to my sister's house, you would see Hellman's in her refrigerator. Again, if you went to mom's, if you went to my Uncle David's house, Hellman's, my Aunt Kathy's house, Hellman's. Because
that's what y'all grew up with.
That's what my grandmother, these folks, you know, so, you know, that's where we get our tastes. And so we want our sandwiches to taste like mom's and grandma's, et cetera. So, you know, we just get this stuff from family. We're manipulated by the television. And of course, we are manipulated by all of the artificial flavors, the added sugar, the added salt, the added bad fats,
those addictive things.
So when somebody asks me, what diet do you recommend over all of them? I have kind of coined the phrase that we need to eat sober. You know, the bodybuilders talk about eating clean, and a bodybuilder will spend an entire month eating nothing but broccoli, rice, and brown rice, and chicken without the skin on it, and drinking 2 or 3 gallons of water today, and that's how they kind of define eating clean. Well, you know, I once wrote a blog post called "I Question the Idea of a Food Addiction," and certainly I recognize that there are multiple addictions in the world. When you and I did some addiction training years ago, we learned that there was an addiction to work and sex and drugs and alcohol and food and risk-taking or gambling. There are these categories of addiction. I think there's probably more now with the internet and social media, because
it's all based on what increases the dopamine, the feel-good hormones in the brain.
So I do not deny that there aren't people who are seemingly addicted to food. Where I do kind of split hairs is the idea that what they are addicted to is food. You know, there's no such thing as somebody who can't stop eating broccoli once they start. Carrots, you know, food.
Right,
and,
food.
And I'm going to say that it's the sugar, the refined and processed foods and all the flavor enhancers and all of those things that I'm going to label as drugs that right. are put into our food to get us addicted
what
to them.
What this guy says and what I've heard a lot of people say in the past is food-like substances. They're not food. But they're things...
Edible substances.
Being, right. Edible food-like substances.
That's exactly right.
But are they technically edible?
Well, they,
I mean...
Yeah. You know, not without causing major damage right. to your body.
Bleach
so,
could be considered consumable, but it's going to cause some significant damage to the body. So...
Yeah, I don't know that would even be considered.
Faster.
That would just
well, I'm
be
just saying it's going to do it a lot faster than
sure.
what we get when we eat these things that... You know, these food-like substances that people call food, but they're not real food because
right.
they're so processed and it's just chemicals that will kill us over time.
So I love his basic premise of the book, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And while I think that he would like everyone to, and I may be putting words into his mouth, but I think in an ideal world, he thinks most of us are vegetarians. And again, that may be a misrepresentation because he allows for a little bit of meat. He wants it to be used as a flavor enhancer and certainly as a side.
Yeah, more of a meat. Eat meat. Every, you know, maybe two or three times a week as opposed to every
day. And I would agree with him that we eat probably way too much and our serving sizes are too big and so forth. But, you know, I certainly am not going to be anti-meat in my recommendations.
Okay, speaking of meat, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
He does this, but why do a lot of people separate out meat? Why do people consider poultry and beef meat, but they'll say meat and fish?
Yeah, I honestly don't have any idea. I feel bad for fish sometimes because they're
kind of get left out.
Well, yeah, and but I don't know. I've never been a vegetarian, and I don't speak to a lot of. Well, that sounds bad, like I shun vegetarians. That's not it. But I've never really talked a lot to understand why some people, you know, we have a friend, Tawny, mm-hmm. and she's a pescatarian or something. She'll eat fish.
Right.
But that's that she won't eat chicken and she won't eat red meat. So I don't understand exactly why it is that some people would... limit, you know, no red meat, no beef, but I will do chicken and poultry and things like that.
Right.
So I don't really know, but I want to go back to his basic premise in this book, Food Rules: eat food, not too much, mostly plants. I really like that because even though, you know, we have our plan, and I'm not going to ever tell anybody they're ever going to eat too many vegetables. And whatever you're doing, I'd probably say double that. And you know, they come from plants. So do seeds and nuts, and so do fruits. Even though we limit
right.
fruits a lot, so most of certainly 80% of what you and I eat come from. From plants, avocados,
right.
coconuts,
right.
you know.
Right.
So I absolutely can buy into that. We do have meat typically every day. We just had a nice spinach salad with some smoked salmon on
which
it.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, and some of our fermented hard-boiled eggs. That was added to it,
Did I say it was amazing?
I think that was exactly what you said.
Because it was amazing.
Well,
okay, that's
okay. I'm glad you liked it, but nobody wants to hear you say that again.
Okay, shush.
Okay, so his number one rule, and we are not going to go through all 64 of these. That would be, I don't know, plagiarism, and it might keep people from buying a really good book that could really help you. It's only $11 or so. Yeah, exactly $11. I got it at Barnes & Noble, and it's an easy hour and a half read, as you
well,
indicated.
Well, that's an hour and a half with...
With interruptions, yes, yes, and because I believe, well, I think I, whatever. So rule number one, pretty
eat
simple.
Food.
Eat food. Yeah.
I like that because, I mean, and that's the thing is if it was one at one time, if it was living, it's okay to eat.
Yeah.
You know, because plants were living things.
Right.
And animals are living things. So right. If it was once living.
You know, I've always liked what George Malcomus, he was the guy that wrote the Hallelujah Diet years ago. He said, if God made it and said you could eat it, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Number two was the big deal. Number two, again, was the big deal. I was just about to read number three, and I'm not reading it.
Even though your eyes are closed.
That's right.
You're reading it in your mind.
Rewinding. Number one, if God made it and said it was okay to eat, then it's okay to eat. Number two, it's got to be made in, it's not, it's got to be eaten in as close to the form
original
that
form.
that it was originally made. That wipes out 90% of what most people eat right there. And then the third rule was don't let food become your God. Don't become addicted to food. And that's really, you know, we run the risk of overindulging and or obsessing and becoming addicted to certain things. Although no one's ever going to get addicted to broccoli and kale,
except maybe you.
And no, I'm not addicted to it, but I eat it every day.
I joke about that because you're always like, oh, I would love some of that broccoli.
Oh,
you tell me that all the time.
That is true.
I'm craving that broccoli.
Ilana Amsterdam is her name. She lives in Boulder, Colorado, and her website is ilanaspantry.com. Always yes. recommend it. She has a live, she's got three cookbooks and a ton of recipes on her website. And what's cool
about her website,
recipes, if you're gluten-free, nut-free, dairy-free, on a candida diet, sugar,
she's got everything.
And somebody was interviewing her, I believe it was Dr. Josh Axe was interviewing her for his podcast. And after they'd gone through all these amazing recipes, he asked, well, what's your favorite? And she said, roasted broccoli. And roasted broccoli is like the easiest thing to make on the planet. And I had it for lunch.
Ew.
That's what I had for lunch. I had roasted broccoli and roasted sweet potatoes.
I gotta justify my here because I actually really like roasted broccoli and roasted Brussels sprouts, roasted vegetables. But about a year and a half ago, I got the stomach flu within 24 hours of eating roasted broccoli.
Yeah.
And now I have this major association issue. And so I'm starting to get over it, and I'm starting to be able to eat roasted broccoli and Brussels sprouts.
I think you need emotional freedom technique. Tap on your hand and on your eye and under your nose. And
there was this whale. I don't think it's quite that easy.
Okay. So rule number three, avoid food products containing ingredients that no ordinary human being would keep in their pantry.
So
oh my gosh, we got to
read it.
Yeah.
It's probably not a
you know, here
substance.
He lists some things. Cellulose, gum, calcium, propion, aluminum sulfate. You know, no recipe is going to have these things in them. And I agree with him. If it's not something that would go in a recipe, you shouldn't be eating it.
I really like his one, and maybe you're coming to it, but I really like the one that talks about how many ingredients.
We're going to talk about that one because that one really kind of threw me and required some digging, and we'll talk about that one in a minute. But here's one that across the board, avoid food products that contain high fructose corn syrup.
Oh my gosh. One of the commercials that probably angers me, I think, borderline angers, if not angers me the most, is this one where you've got this person walking through a cornfield, and they're saying high fructose corn syrup isn't unhealthy. It comes from natural sources, and even my doctor said it was okay. And well, it's like, really?
Your doctor is wrong. You know, the thing about it is, I encourage people, anytime you go and look at old family movies, photo albums, look at pictures from the 50s, 60s, up until the early 70s, people were thin. And, you know, my father, when he was my age, my grandfather, when he was my age, my current age, which is 48, my great-great-grandma, I see pictures of all these folks, and they were all just as thin as can be. But in the mid-70s, everything started getting sweetened with high fructose corn syrup. And the problem with fructose is it's only processed by the liver. So if the body, if you take in too much for the body to use at any given time, then it just, the liver just stores it as fat. And that's right. A significant problem. And high fructose corn syrup is in everything. And you should eat it in nothing. and so, you know, high fructose corn syrup, something to be avoided at all costs. Now, you mentioned the thing about the five ingredients.
Right.
And I was reading a book that I give all of my clients called One Degree of Change.
That I have open right in front of me.
Well, cool. It's put out by Standard Process, the nutritional supplement company that we've used for about 20 years now. And it's just that is just a great book that I, it's packed full of just all sorts of things that I want everybody to know. And so one of the suggestions in there was don't eat anything that has more than
food should ideally have five ingredients or less.
And I'm thinking, I've never heard that before. What about my salad? What about my, you know, what about recipe for this? And my soups have, they're just loaded with, it's like anything you can put in it.
Right.
You know, so I read it first in that book, and then I went online to say, what is the origin of this rule? And it turns out that the reference that I was given referenced food rules. Michael Pollan, which is why I went out and got the book. So what were you going to say?
No, I was okay.
I'm going to read this one directly.
Yes.
Because I want him to
be quoted.
Avoid food products that contain more than five ingredients. And he goes on to say, the specific number you adopt is arbitrary, but the more ingredients in a packaged food, the more highly processed it probably is. Note number one, a long list of ingredients in a recipe is not the same thing. That's fine. Okay, well, that answered that question. Note number two, some products now boast somewhat deceptively about their short ingredients list. And he names a famous ice cream that says it called five. Because it has less than five ingredients, but it's still ice cream, and the majority of it is
exactly.
sugar, and right. so, but that was interesting. So ideally, if you're buying food that has been packaged or whatever, now again, that doesn't mean soup, doesn't mean salad, doesn't mean your recipe, and so on and
right.
so forth. So,
what was I going to say?
I don't know.
I forgot.
Moving right along. Eat foods made from ingredients that you can picture in their raw state or growing in nature. So if food has garlic in it, I think you can picture garlic. If it has beets, you can picture beets. If it has bacon, you can picture bacon.
I can picture bacon and I can picture chicken. I just don't want to because I love them. But I'm an animal person too, so
okay.
I just can't see what I'm eating.
Okay, so you know, point being, what were some of those ingredients that he was talking about?
Aluminum sulfate.
Aluminum, yeah. You don't know what that looks like, and so pick up a label, and if you can't picture it in your mind, then you
just don't do it.
You shouldn't eat it.
Right.
Oh, I've skipped some. Rule number 15, get out of the supermarket whenever you can. We live in a community that's got tons farmers markets and, you know, go out and start a garden of your own. We also have an abundance of really good grocery stores in our community. So
we're spoiled in that way.
And much of it is locally grown, which is very, very important. The least travel your food has to have, then the
and
better.
A lot of, I mean, even in bigger cities, you know, these locally grown is becoming a very important thing to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if it is a bigger chain like a Whole Foods that, you know, is going to be around, they're still going to try to find a locally grown source for their fruits, vegetables, meats, things of that nature. You're going to find a lot of stores, you know, even chain stores, even like Kroger's and Marsh, and they're going to have a local section.
Yeah, these are local to Indiana and the Midwest.
They're local to Indiana and the Midwest, but that doesn't mean that. Okay, just because you don't have Kroger doesn't mean
Piggly Wiggly
you're not going to have, right? But Piggly Wiggly is going to find local produce too.
Or Winn-Dixie. Okay,
get my point.
I King Supra.
Winn-Dixie, which I think is owned by Kroger.
I'm just thinking of the names of
okay,
grocery
that's
stores
not the
that
point.
I. Yeah, if it came from a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't.
I like that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one. It's not food if it's called by the same name in every language. I like that one.
I did too.
You have a lot of Asian kids that work out at the gym, and I bet they all.
If I were to say Big Mac, they'd all know I was talking about McDonald's.
That's right, or Twinkie, or Pringles, or Cheetos, or whatever, and they probably knew those foods by those names, when they were in their native land. Okay. Skipping around. Oh, I like this one, and I know you do too. Number 25, eat your colors.
I do too. I like that one.
I just said you did.
I know you did, but I do like that
one.
I'm justifying what you said.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, vegetables especially, fruits and vegetables come in all sorts of different colors. And you know, even though I say that we need to really limit our fruit intake, that's done just because I don't want people to say. I've had people, my clients, come and say, hey, you'd be so proud of me. I've eaten nothing but fruit today. I had two bananas, an apple. I had some pineapple. I had, and whoa.
The amount of sugar you just consumed.
Yeah. And yes, there's fiber in there. Oh, now it's a lot worse if people juice it, but it's all of those different colors in the fruits and the vegetables that are loaded with the antioxidants, all the nutrients
all the
that make it so
colorful.
That's exactly right.
Which is what you were gonna say.
Well, yeah. So the more colors that one can get
into
their...
And it makes it prettier.
Well, that
it makes your plate prettier.
That indeed it does. This is a good one. And I know you're an animal lover, but eat animals that have themselves eaten well.
Yes. And I actually was talking about this to someone at the gym today because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that if you're feeding your animal grains and corn and toxic stuff, their bodies store that just as much as our bodies do.
Well, exactly.
So if their bodies are storing that, then why do you think it's okay for us to consume the animal whose body is storing all of those toxic things? So if you're feeding your animals wheat and corn and all these things, then you're going to basically be eating that.
That's exactly
as well.
Right. You know, animals are supposed to eat what animals are supposed to eat. Cows are supposed to eat grass. Chickens are supposed to eat grass and bugs and worms and roly-polies and things of that nature. And it very much matters if as you just said, if your animal eats nothing but corn, you're basically eating corn. That's the reason that farm-raised any kind of fish is bad, and you want wild-caught salmon. You want wild trout. That's the problem with tilapia, because tilapia is pretty much universally grown in farms, and so it's just loaded with corn.
And hard to find a wild-caught tilapia.
And, you know, there's another thing. Somebody once said that it was very important how your animal died. And I hadn't really thought about that, but if your animal, if your food is grown in cruel and unusual circumstances and is loaded with fear and anxiety and so forth, which is common, then that stresses that animal, and you're going to be eating all of that cortisol, all those stress hormones.
Right.
You know, our good friend Nathan Lehman, the Amish farmer friend of ours, says our animals have one bad day, and we try to make that as painless as possible.
Right.
And so it is very important what your animals eat and in what environment they've been grown in. And that's why I really have a hard time eating meat out in restaurants.
Right.
You know, even really good restaurants. We've got some really good restaurants, but I know that they may get their meat all at just the commercial grocery store, and that really poses a problem. I really, if we're eating out, would prefer to get salad and minimal amounts of meat. In fact, I don't normally seek out lean meat except at a restaurant, because knowing that the restaurant meat is commercially grown and so forth, which means it's loaded with antibiotics and hormones and steroids, right, and stuff, that's all stored in the fat. So if I were getting a good piece of grass-fed steak, I'd want a ribeye. But if I'm going out to eat, I may not want to get that ribeye, knowing that it probably is grocery, typical standard issue grocery store bought, and, right, and not as good for me.
What else?
Eat well-grown food from healthy soil. You know, if the soil is not rich with nutrients, then your plants are not rich with nutrients. And much of the commercial grade fruits and vegetables that we get at the grocery store were all grown in completely nutrient depleted soils in California. Why the grin?
Because that brings me to our butternut squash that we have sitting up on our sink.
That's right, because we have a compost heap. We don't have a garden. We don't really have a reason for a compost heap other than the fact that
we've got a good place for a compost
We have a good place for a compost heap, and you know, if anybody needs some compost, we've got it. But you know,
but I'm laughing because you asked me about my grin, because we have this butternut squash vine that just started growing out of our compost heap because we had gotten butternut squash at some point.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this vine starts growing out of our compost heap. And everybody's like, oh, are you going to eat it? Are you going to eat it? And I'm like,
we're going to preserve it.
I'm like, ooh. And they're no, it's good. It's
that's exactly right.
And I'm like, you know what? That is so true.
Yeah. So you and I have both had an opportunity to tour the standard process of certified organic farms where our supplements, most of the food that it goes into our supplements has been right. grown. That soil is probably some of the richest, finest soil on the planet. Standard process has been cultivating that soil now for 86 years. And to say that it looks like rich coffee grounds is an understatement.
Right.
And so consequently, that food that goes into our supplements is just loaded with nutrients.
Nutrition,
that,
right.
You know, if even if somebody goes out and tries to have a garden in their backyard, the way, you know, in urban development, they probably don't have any good topsoil. It's probably a lot of clay. There's not a lot of nutrition potentially in their soil.
Right.
If the soil doesn't have nutrition, then the food doesn't have nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a big one in our life. Eat some foods that have been pre-digested by bacteria or fungi. Doesn't that sound disgusting?
That sounds absolutely gross.
It does.
Like,
but all that means is to eat lacto-fermented foods.
Well, and that's something that we do. I mean, we make lacto-fermented. So your sauerkrauts, your pickled eggs.
Yep.
Your pickles.
Our beet kvass, our kefir water.
You're right. And yogurt.
Yogurt.
I mean, that's all that stuff is basically pre-eaten by bacteria.
And we had a session on the microbiome diet several sessions ago, and we've talked a lot about the importance of restoring proper balance to the gut microbes, and that's something that we work with our patients and clients with on a regular basis, because you know, so many people have leaky gut syndrome, and that can lead to autoimmune diseases, everything from asthma to allergies to scleroderma, and it's even being linked to things like Alzheimer's, autism, addiction, ADD, a lot of brain related issues. So I have a vision for all of my coaching clients that by the time that we've worked together for a year, if I were to walk into their kitchen, they'd have some jars there of things that are fermenting, you know, and they may all like some different things, but Dr. Mercola had his kraut recipe tested, and his kraut is just like our kraut. You make it with just cabbage and some sea salt and some and about 2 weeks of time.
And it's amazing.
And and yet he had his tested, and one or two forkfuls was the equivalent in probiotics of a whole bottle of store-bought probiotics. And right. And so that's very important. We want to eat probiotic foods and prebiotic foods, which was the topic of our last session or two sessions ago, I think. Right. And so, yeah, it's very important to eat foods. I almost said processed foods. We would have had to have stopped the recording.
Just say no to processed foods.
Eat some foods that have been pre-digested by bacteria or fungi. Well, I'm gonna fast forward here a little bit.
I'm sitting here watching you flip through this book, and I'm going, man, you're only halfway through.
Well, yeah, but we're not gonna. There, like you said, that there were 64, not 63. Not that one. Not that one. Eat less. Yeah, this is a good one. I think that most of us tend to eat way too much. There's a problem with the idea that, you know, our parents and grandparents grew up in an era when you can't let things go to waste. There's kids starving in Africa, and you know, if you're not going to eat that, we can't let it go to waste. I think that we did a really good job when we did the 21-day reset. Fix that Beachbody put out. We got those food containers and we planned out our meals, and they all kind of corresponded with the different colored containers. And we really got to learn the idea of portion control. And that's one of the things that I really want to spend a lot of time with my clients, because, you know, some of the other suggestions that he has in the book that we're not going to go into is go buy smaller plates. You know, right. Go to Bed Bath & Beyond and get some nice little plates that are much smaller, you know, sushi plates or something.
Right. It's the idea of, well, if I have this plate, I have to fill my plate. And if I fill my plate, I have to eat what's on my plate. So you're going to eat more. You get a smaller plate, you fill the plate, you're eating less.
Well, that's exactly right. So I think that that's one of the things that we have to really help people. And when you eat nutrient-dense food and your body is getting a copious amount of vitamins and minerals and enzymes and all this stuff, you aren't hungry. And you aren't hungry in 2 hours. You know, it's when you're eating the sugar, the refined foods, the processed foods, the grains, the breads, all of that stuff causes us to get hungry really, really quickly. It doesn't supply us really anything of significant value. There's nothing in wheat that you can't get, that your body needs, that you can't get better elsewhere. And so I just really try to help people to understand the importance of eliminating wheat and grains and starch and so forth. Not exclusively for everybody, but by and large, most people are going to do a lot better if they just eliminate those foods, and you can try it for a period of time and then go back to eating grains and see how your body does. But that's all the rules that I'm going to list, because in the interest of time.
Right. Read again basically what those rules boil down to.
Okay.
Eat food.
Yes. Eat food, mostly plants, not too much. And I love that. I think that that is a great rule, and something that most of the different diets out there, whether from vegetarian to paleo, can agree on that.
Right.
Because even the strict paleo people are certainly advocating lots and lots and lots of vegetables, and
right.
And that's a good thing. Any closing thoughts on this topic? Everybody should go out and get Michael Pollan's book, Food Rules, an Eater's Manual. Spend an hour and 45 minutes if you get interrupted, or 45 minutes if you get to sit down and read it from cover to cover. And
keep in mind when you do that there are things in there that you may say, kind of like we did with the meat thing, you know, I'm not going to hesitate to eat meat every night. I will. Now, my portion sizes are the recommended size of your palm or, mm-hmm. you know, 4 to 5 ounces per serving.
3 to 4 for a woman, 4 for a man.
Okay, well, that's... There falls into the 4 to 5 ounce thing I gave you. But, you know, we're not going to hesitate to do. So there might be some things that you're going, you know.
I did see something on Facebook the other day that said vegetarians on average live like 9 years longer than carnivores.
Bacon.
That's right. Nine long years without bacon.
Baconless years.
I thought that was pretty funny.
But, you know, I get that. You know, but when you look at what they're eating, in general, people are consuming hormone-filled, you know, toxin-filled.
Antibiotics, steroids.
All these things. Toxins, and that absolutely is not going to be a healthy form of meat. Nope. So
here's our segue. Go out and buy your fruits and your vegetables and your meats locally. Try to get grass-fed meats and locally raised organic vegetables, a little bit of fruit and seeds and nuts and things like that. Get those locally at your grocery store. And then for all of your healthy non-perishable things. Go to thrivemarket.com and have those things delivered to your door. And please check out Thrive Market by going to either drscottlittle.com or karenlittle.me and just clicking on the little logo there for Thrive Market. We love Thrive Market and think they're doing some great work. And absolutely. I really enjoy getting our box typically on a weekly basis with my favorite shampoo and conditioner. And we get what else?
We get our coconut oil. We get our huge thing of coconut oil. Avocado mayo. Our big tub of coconut oil. We get our protein powders
from Standard Process and for the right. Garden of Life protein right. powder. We get from Thrive.
Anything that you would get from the center aisles of the grocery store, you can get on Thrive Market.
Yep.
So do your perimeter shopping at your local store and buy locally. Do your inner aisle shopping at thrivemarket.com. Go to our website to get there. And yeah, it's fabulous.
I think that was rule number 65.
That would be rule number 65.
All right, Karen, invite people to your website.
My website is karenlittle.me, and you can go there. I've got all kinds of blogs written on there. A lot of encouragement, some fitness stuff, some recovery stuff, just a lot of stuff on there that you know, I pull from everyday experiences that people have and just try to help you grow through it. So feel free to subscribe to my blog so you can get it on a regular basis.
Absolutely. And I am Dr. Scott Little. My website is drscottlittle.com. That's just drscottlittle.com. I would be honored to serve you in any way that I might be able to. I help people to lose weight, get fit, just experience the extraordinary health that they deserve. So if you need to lose 20 pounds, 40 pounds, 50 pounds, if you've got a diagnosed medical condition like Crohn's disease, or you've got digestion issues or asthma or allergies, any number of things, I'd love to help you. So just connect with me at drscottlittle.com, or Karen, just reach out to us through our contact pages and let us know how we can serve you. Well, for my lovely wife, Karen, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
I am Dr. Scott Little. The show is Your Great Life Game Plan, where we say the secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, a great year, a great decade. Just repeat that over and over and over again. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants. Have a great day.